Before we begin this episode, I do want to give a huge shout out to all of our patrons over on patreon.com/bitterbrownfems. Without their support, none of this would be possible. I'd especially like to thank Jen A, Jesus Vicente V, Joel M, Evelyn, Danielle V, Adri, Cassandra G, Linda M, Saul Alexander Z, Yavi, Abigail Araña, and Kimberly B. All of your support means a ton to us, so thank y'all so much. If you want to help us keep this thing going, feel free to go to patreon.com/bitterbrownfems. The link will be in the description of the episode. All right, now let's start the show.
We'll do it live. We'll do it live!
Fuck it!
Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live! Fucking thing sucks!
Hi, and welcome to another episode of Bitter Brown Fams. I am one of your hosts, Ruben.
And this is Cassandra, the mega supporter. Hello.
Bitch, people are going to think that's real because people don't understand sarcasm.
Yeah. I mean, how are you?
I'm okay now that we are Oprah approved and the 1176 podcast on iTunes under Society and Culture.
Yeah, so don't fucking talk to us peasants.
Yeah, put some respect in our names.
Yeah, so after we recorded the last time, like I think a day or 2 days like after we had actually recorded, we were notified via email, anyway, via iTunes, that Bitter Brown Fems is number 1,466 on the Apple Podcast Society and Culture chart. So we are moving on up, and then I think it was the same day or the following day the Oprah thing happened?
It was like the same day.
It was like the same day, yeah.
We were winning that day.
That was a good day.
Yeah.
So we're coming on up, bitches. And so we want to thank all our fans for believing in us. Thank you.
Yeah, specific shout out to the writer of the Oprah article who also featured other amazing folks. Because, like, yeah, it's like if we don't put each other on, like, no one's going to put us on, right? So shout out to Irina Gonzalez for the write-up over on Oprah Magazine.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, I remember that day I had, like, I woke up, like, in a bad, like, I'm, like, nervous or whatever, or just, like, weird about, like, you know, of, like, oh, if we, you know, need to get booked, you know, to keep this stuff going, and then, like, no bookings had come, but then we got, like, the nice notification on about iTunes and then the Oprah Magazine thing, so that was really nice. And on that note, if you want to book us, reach out to us over at bookings@bitterbrownfemspodcast.com or visit bitterbrownfemspodcast.com/bookings. So those are ways that you can have us, you know, over at your school or organization to have like a live recording or a discussion. Yeah. So, you know, that and Patreon are some of the ways that we can keep this podcast going and maybe break the top 1,000 of the iTunes Society and Culture chart.
Yes, maybe one day. And on that note, because it is iTunes, just a reminder to leave us reviews, give us 5 stars. I mean, you know, maybe you don't think we're 5 stars, but, you know, just just put 5 stars anyway, okay? You can leave
it. Do it anyway.
Do it anyway. So.
Support Latinx businesses for Latinx History Month.
Yes. So, yes, on that note, we just started Libra season, and it is still Bi Visibility Week and Latinx Heritage Month. So I'm should be thriving right now, but I am not, as always. But you know. You know. I love how it's always like, it's not like like full month. It's like mid-September to like mid-October, so a lot of people get confused about it.
People stop celebrating it at the end of September.
Yeah.
Like, straight up.
Like, they think it starts in October.
No, they think it ends in October. I feel. I don't know. Maybe it's different in El Paso.
People aren't aware. They are not aware about it.
They're like, it's not Latinx Heritage Month. It's Fronterizo Month or whatever y'all say over there.
Wow, bitch. Okay. You're gonna do it? You're gonna do that? After we're like, okay.
No, like, even Latin, even the way that the month is set up is all rascuache and shit. Like, it's all over the place.
It's actually perfect, It makes sense.
Yeah, and that's supposed to be because, like, it's supposed to, like, overlap with as many, like, Latinx, like, Independence's Day mm-hmm. as possible. So that's why it's, like, mid-September to mid-October. Yeah, which is cute and all. And I feel like we're, like, it's, like, the obligatory, like, Hispanic Heritage Month, Latinx Heritage Month, like, disclaimer and, like, discussion that I think we maybe had it once. Because we actually began Latinx Heritage Month. This is technically our 2-year anniversary podcast.
That is very true.
Yeah.
I wish that I had the exact date.
Even our podcast is a little rascuache because we technically started filming in August, remember? But all this shit started piling up, and then we recorded like 3 different days. Like, that's why the first episode is locked away in a vault because it's such a shitty episode.
Oh my gosh, when we had posted, when that Oprah shit came out, we got a lot of followers. So if this is your first time listening, shout out. But we got a lot of followers thanks to that. So we did get, like, you know, it did help us in a way. And what was I going to say? Someone had commented, right? I don't know if you saw the comments. And they're like, oh, yeah, I guess, you know, this sweet angel was trying to listen to all of our episodes from the very beginning. And they were like, I can't find the first episode on Spotify or, you know, like, what's going on. And we were like, about that.
Yeah, it's up for all patrons, like, no matter if you just donate $1, like, you can listen to the first and second episode. But we took it down because, again, like, people, because we're not fairly new, but it's only like 30 episodes, which in like the grander scheme of podcasts is not like a lot of episodes. So people start from the beginning sometimes, and then you just see our numbers dwindle. Like, when we had it up, it was like, you know, hella numbers for episode 1, and then it just slowly dwindled. And so, mm-hmm. and it was because for the first 2 episodes are just like the audio. Like, when people ask us about, like, how do I start my own podcast? Like, you know, what knowledge did you have? And I'm like, I don't know, girl, just fucking do it. Because, like, I didn't know how to do shit. Like, Cassandra still has problems with her freaking mic. Like, like my computer heats up, so you're always gonna hear a fan. Like, because again, like, we have to do this through Skype. Like, there's so many things that are in motion. Like, Cassandra and I have only recorded in person maybe like 2 or 3 times.
I feel like it's been one. So, time.
Because of we've had 2 live recordings,
like at a talk, but like one where then, we were. Yeah. In the hotel just recording by ourselves, yeah.
It was like a learning curve, and that's why the first few episodes sound kind of horrible. But along with this Hispanic Heritage Month and Latinx Heritage Month, like, I have a lot of feelings about it. Like, one, like, it sucks that, like, this is the only time of year that, like, Latinxes are, like, given, like, a spotlight. Like, you know, I'm very happy that, like, Spotify and iTunes featured us, like, in their Latinx Heritage Month page, but I'm just like, imagine if they uplifted like Latinx podcasts or like podcasts for people of color like all year round. Like, how much more like big could we get, right? But they don't, because it's like, this is like the one time of year we're tokenized. And I also don't necessarily like Latinx Heritage Month because, like, I feel like Latinidad itself is not enough, I think, and it kind of pushes a lot of us together that maybe don't have that much in common, or that, you know, can relate to one another, or, for example, like, some of our Latinx countries oppress others. Like, there's a lot of imbalance and a lot of things that get steamrolled, they get looked over. At the same time, like, I understand that, like, for some folks, like, I live in LA, so, like, I don't think that I was ever wanting for Latinx empowerment or visibility because it was all around me. Like, I grew up in an immigrant community, so this was my hood, right? And so there was Latinxes everywhere. And so, but I know that, like, that's, it's weird to think of it as a privilege because, like, yeah, it was hella Latinx, but it was also hella underfunded because it was all Latinx, so, they, you know, the government didn't give a fuck about us. But I know folks who, you know, lived in other hoods where they never saw anybody that looked like them, who lived in, like, white neighborhoods, right? And, like, this month probably means a shit to them, right? So I don't, there's a nuance there, right? Like, my own feelings, like, are mine, and I'm not telling everybody to be like, you're whack if you don't like Latinx Heritage Month.
Yeah, and it's like this conversation also of Latinidad that we touched on our last episode, but that we touch on all the time about, you know, what is Latinidad? What does it mean? Who does it include? Who does it exclude? There's just like a lot of, so especially during this month, well, first it's like Hispanic Heritage, right? Like that, and that is like the businesses and corporations that are trying to like sell to us, right? Like that's what they're using. That's like the, is it like federal? I don't know. You know what I mean? Like the actual official name of it is Hispanic. I think that, you know, obviously it's 2019, so a lot of us feel like only cops use Hispanic. Like we're not about that shit. So now I think everyone kind of just uses, not everyone, but you see Latinx Heritage Month a lot, right? And then, I have a lot of feelings about that label as well, but I also feel like I don't dwell on it as much, and I guess that also is kind of like maybe a privilege of me being mestiza, because I know that there's a lot of like Black Latinx, Black and Indigenous who like don't fuck with that word at all, and I think that that's very valid. But like for me, and so like for me saying like I don't dwell on it, well, obviously because it includes me, right? And it centers me. So to me, like whether I identify as that or I don't, like to me it doesn't really affect me as much as it, like the people that it oppresses or the people that it excludes, right? So I don't want to say, you know, that their feelings, other people's feelings on that isn't valid. But for me, I think it's coming from, you know, like the Chicano movement, right? I think a lot of it is like we've talked about the appropriation of Indigenous identity and culture, and so Chicanos have this thing where they're just like, you're not Latino, you're not Hispanic, you are Native, you are Indigenous, you are Aztec or whatever the fuck, right? And so when I was on that like Chicano bullshit wave, I was like that too, which is like really embarrassing to say, but I was like, I'm not Hispanic, I'm not Latina, I'm Chicana, you know? And it was, like, this very, like, this, like, big focus on, like, that, on just, like, worrying about, like, harassing people on Twitter that identified as, like, Latino, Latina, Latinx. And it's, like, you know, now that I've gotten away from that, now I get those same people in my comments now all the time. Like, they're, like, stop, decolonize, and stop using Latinx and like all the shit, and that like for me now I'm just like, oh my gosh, like shut the fuck up. And that's why like I think for me I don't dwell on like what you're identifying as anymore, because I feel like there's just like so much more than like that term and what, you know what I mean? I think it's important to have conversations about it. I just like for me whenever I see people shout that, I'm just like, oh my god, like you're either like a Chicano nationalist or you're just like, you're like queerphobic technically, because of, you know, especially with the Latinx and how every time you say that you have people in your mentions like telling you how it's incorrect and like defending the Spanish language. And so it's just, it's a lot. And like, I feel like I only want to have those conversations if you're talking about anti-Blackness and you're talking about how it erases Indigenous folks. Like other than that, I do not care about your opinions on that fucking term. So.
Yeah. I recently wrote an article about like, Pose and Vida for Remezcla, and I the title was like, you know, how Vida and Pose ask the Latinx community to, you know, handle its LGBT antagonism, right? And like when Remezcla posted it on their page, like it got like, the last time I checked, it got like more than 40 comments, right? Which was like a big deal. And so when I saw that, I was like excited. I was like, oh my God, I want to read the feedback. And then I went on the page and like half of them are like, Latinx is not a word and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, bitch, okay. Like, we're going to get stuck on this word.
And that's it. Like, and that's the only, and there's no like,
whatever.
And nothing productive happening in that conversation. Because everyone just like wants to jump at the chance to say like, fuck this word. And it's like, that's it. That's all they want to comment. So usually I block those people because I already know what kind of person that is, and it's like, if that's the only thing that you're upset about right now. Like, I can be posting about, you know, like, violence against queer people. I can be posting about, like, literally anything, like xenophobia, about racism, and then all people, if once they see that word, that's, like, all. Like, they don't give a shit about anything you just said.
So for me, it's like, okay, like, you hate the word Latinx, like, and... You know, it's not always just cishet folks. You know, there's other folks who are part of the LGBT community who are like, okay, what does the X actually do tangibly for LGBT folks? And sometimes it doesn't do anything for us. And so for me, it's like not the end all be all, but it's a good start. At the same time, like, I know that other people have different articulations of gender inclusive language, like in certain parts of Latin America. Like, the word Latine with a E at the end instead of an X, like, is more accessible to them and more inclusive. The only word, again, that, like, I personally do not use, even though it can apply, is Hispanic. Like, I don't use that word for my community. Hispanic translates into... Hispanic means Spanish-speaking, and a lot of the times that groups us in with Spaniard folks, right, and... To me, like, I have more in common with non-Spanish-speaking Latinx folks than Spaniards a lot of the time. So I don't feel like I have a shared culture with everybody who speaks Spanish, right? But I do feel like there is a shared culture with other folks from Latin America. At the same time, I understand all the pushback against Latinidad as a whole. And so I think now the bigger question is, like, okay, so we end Latinidad's over. Like, what do we build after this? Like, what can we create without going into, like, Gloria Anzaldúa, like, new mestizo bullshit that is, like, harmful and problematic? Like, how do we build new identities that are not based on, like, anti-blackness and anti-indigeneity and colonization and nationalism? And so I think that's a conversation that I want to explore more, but that often, like, isn't had, really, because people still need to catch up, or other people are reluctant to look past nationalism, and it's just a mess, such as Latinidad.
And speaking on that, something I saw on Twitter, so I think a few days ago, Fat Joe was on, I believe on, I could be wrong on where he did this interview, I want to say it was Hot 97, but he did an interview, and in the interview, he pretty much said that all Latinx folks are black. He even went on to say that we even might be more black than black people. Just a hot mess. And then I was reading a lot of the comments, you know, that people were agreeing or disagreeing or what they were saying about it. And I just felt like, first of all, Fat Joe is not black, okay? He's a non-black Latino. And I think I've seen a lot of people throughout the years kind of say that he was black, right? Like, I've seen folks refer to him as, like, as an Afro-Latino. And I think that that's pretty much just because he's in hip-hop, to be honest, right? Like, we're just like, oh, he's in hip-hop, he uses the N-word, and he's Latino, so he's Puerto Rican, right? Like, therefore, he's black. He's, like, a black Latino. He's not. He's a non-black Latino. And obviously, he's a hip-hop artist. And it's just... It's something... It's not new. I see this a lot. And sometimes, like, there will be people that'll say, oh, well, you know, Latinos are black. And I'm like, yes, there are Latinos that are black, of course. But not all Latinos are black. And I think... I've seen people that when you say that, then they kind of say that you're denying your blackness. Like, if you're rejecting it and it's like this awful thing, right? Like, if you're being anti-black about it, and I'm like, And it's sometimes it's hard because sometimes these conversations come from other Black people, you know? And so like sometimes I don't know how to approach that because I do want to be obviously respectful in that, but I it's hard, you know? And it's like, yes, Black Latinx folks exist, obviously, right? But to say that we're all Black is to me is not denying like anything, right? Like I'm sure there might be, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I've never, you know, maybe I might be mixed with Black, who knows? But my experiences is definitely not Black. Like I'm not a Black person. I'm not a Black woman. I'm never gonna experience what that is. So for me to go around saying I'm Black, like that's just no. Like that is not something that I wouldn't like. Just no. Anyway, he did say that, and so like I feel he's very wrong, and just very wrong. But I also think it's like. Also, I don't know how to explain it. Like maybe this his way of trying to justify him using the N-word, TBH, because, or like other people's way of justifying it, because we all know somebody who's a non-Black Latino who uses that word. Non-Black Latinas use that word. I see it on Twitter all the time, and they're always anti-Black as fuck on top of that. And so for those people to then say like it's totally cool, I am Black. Or I'm Afro-Latina because I have like one fucking curly hair in my head. Or like my great 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 grandma was Black. Like it just
Oh girl, I knew this one white Latina, woof, in college who like found one curl and was like, "Is this Afro-Latini that?" and just fucking ran with that. Like, and it's not rare, and people think it's like cute and all, or something to like claim an identity that isn't that you're not oppressed by, right? But it's like what that does when you claim like indigeneity, when you claim blackness, when you are not any of these two things, right? When the world doesn't treat you that way, what ends up happening is that you erase people with those experiences, right? And then you contribute to anti-blackness, you contribute to anti-indigeneity, right? And so I've gotten that shit too. I remember posting some stuff from Bad Dominicana that talked about like Latinx anti-blackness, and somebody was like, "What is she talking about? Like, we are all Black, and like you posting this is you denying your own blackness." And I'm like, "What in the world?" Like you said, like yes, maybe because of mestizaje, there is, you know, ancestry there, but if it exists, it's so far removed as to like not have an impact on the way the world treats me, right? Like my lived experience is one where the world sees me as brown. The world sees me as queer and as feminine, and like those are things that inform my life. And to take on anything else would be to take on the space of other folks who have a clearer articulation of what it means to exist in the world as a Black Latinx person, right? And so just putting that out there for folks to, and specifically to Fat Joe, who
Yeah.
like knows
He was
nothing
very
about
confident
apparently
in
like
what he
the
was saying.
social
Well, like
construct of
all of
race.
usually people that say stuff like that are, but he was like, I know what I'm talking about. He was really, really bold on that. But I also think it's very interesting. I don't know. It the whole Latinidad is such a mess, you know, because I was going to say it's so interesting. Everyone wants to be or say and claim that they're Black, right? When it's convenient, of course. And then at the same time, like cling on to whiteness so bad, you know? And I think that obviously we're talking about privilege here, that you're able to even do that or try to do that. But it's also not just about with Blackness, it's also in the indigenous, because that's also a thing, right? Like, I know that I have indigenous ancestry. I know that I'm a descendant, but I would never say like I am solely indigenous. I am native because and due to colonization, here I am. But you can't take this away from me, which that's off like the Chicana anthem and shit. But it's also the same thing, like taking up space and claiming this identity as your own when you don't know what that experience is like. And if you went to fucking Mexico and were like up there saying you're indigenous, they would look at you Like, you are ridiculous because you cannot, and here too, obviously, but I think in the US, I think a lot of like Latinx folks that do that can kind of get away with it a little bit, right? Because they're just like, oh, you know, I'm Latinx and yeah, my ancestors are native and like I'm gonna do all of these things and wear these clothes. And a lot of people here that are not familiar with what that looks like, they're like, oh, okay, you know, whatever. But if you went to Mexico or anywhere in Latin America and you really went up there and were like, hey, I'm indigenous just like you, no. That, like, no, that would not fly because if you went to Mexico, guess what? You would see indigenous people on, like, here crossing just into Juarez. You'll see indigenous people begging for money, asking for money, working, and people looking down on them and them wearing their traditional clothing. So, how am I gonna go over there and be like, hey, what's up, girl? I'm indigenous too. Like, get the fuck out of here. And that goes in the US as well, obviously. Like, if they ain't claiming you, I'm sorry. You're not fucking indigenous. Like, stop it.
Yeah, and I understand that some tribes are like matriarchal and they have different rules, but the general way that like indigeneity works is not like you discovered that you have a certain blood quantum and that and now you get to claim that tribe. Like that's not usually the way that works. Like blood quantum is a thing that like colonizers made up so that they can essentially like rape away indigenous folks, right? And that's why a lot of indigenous folks see indigeneity instead as like a community identity, one where it's like a mutual acknowledgement of growth and unity, right? Because if it was a blood quantum thing, that would leave space for people like Elizabeth Warren and Johnny Depp and all the other white people, the US and the non-Latinx white people who claim indigeneity to have a freaking like field day with that, right? And take up even more space. And so I need folks to understand that like the things that we call out in white people, like when they do fuckery, claim indigeneity for X and Y reason, like, or like that one corporation where like a bunch of their CEOs claimed indigeneity so that they can get a tax write-off. Like that same fuckery happens with folks in Latin America and with folks in your own community as well. So it's important for us to keep an eye on that and not to fall into that because it can be easy. I think that it's scary when you've come to the realization that Latinidad, came as a product of like, slavery and genocide and colonization and
Imperialism.
imperialization, imperialization, imperialism. Like that can be scary and so we try to grasp for things that might seem more tangible and more secure, like indigeneities and blackness, when they're not necessarily ours to claim, right? And so I think for me, what I find like not necessarily empowering, but I find sitting in that discomfort is important for any type of my own personal progress, right? And so this Latinx Heritage Month, I want to ask folks to sit in the discomfort of Latinidad and try to consider how we can move forward without the weight of its malevolence.
Wow, I love that. No, I'm really glad you framed it like that because I think, you know, talking about, you know, the Chicano movement, I think that is a big thing. I think when I came across the Chicano movement, one of the things that I felt inspired by was the term itself and being able to identify Chicana because I was in that thing where I was like, I've never really said I was Hispanic. I don't know how I feel about Latina. And if I say I'm Mexican, you know, like I just really clinged on to Chicana. And I felt like, you know, no one can say that I'm not Chicana. No one can, you know, question me about this versus like everything else that I felt. And so, like, having to, yeah, like having to sit with, if I, you know, I'm Latina, what does that mean? I just said I'm privileged in that identity. I'm privileged in Latinidad as a mestiza, as a light-skinned brown woman. Like, I have a lot of privileges within that. And sometimes it when people are telling other people within the Latinx umbrella are telling you know, fuck Latinidad, you know, let's destroy the shit. Let's like be done with it, like, where does that leave you, right? Like, what do, if you don't, if like, I think that's a question we should ask ourselves too, like, what am I without Latinidad? What, like, if someone took that away from me, this label of Latina, of Latino, of Latinx, like, what does that make me if I'm not Black, if I'm not Indigenous, if I'm just, you know, because I think it's also what I see a lot is also this conversation about race, right? Because it's like, you're Black, you're Indigenous, you're Asian, and then there's like brown folks, right, in the middle of that, or mestizos. Like, that's not a race. What race would we fall under, you know? So Latinidad, Latinx isn't a race, brown isn't a race, person of color isn't a race, mestiza isn't a race technically. So and obviously we're talking about the US because it's different in like other countries, but like also when you fill out like applications, when you fill out forms and it's telling you to pick your race, right, like they'll have that option like of Hispanic, Latino. But again, it tells you that those aren't racist. And then there's forms that don't have that. They're just like, pick a fucking race. Like, what race are you gonna pick? Pretty sure you're gonna pick white. At least I do, because I'm like, I'm not gonna say that I'm Black. I'm not Indigenous. I'm not Asian. So I feel like I have to put that I'm white. And like, what does that mean? Like, where does that leave you? And I don't know. That's just what I've been thinking a lot about. This Latinx Heritage Month, and like as Ruben said, you know, sitting with those feelings and that discomfort, and at the same time not just centering them, not centering yourself at the same time, like taking that moment to think about those things, but also not like dwelling on it to where you're just like, let's talk about me, let's talk about how I feel and how I'm excluded from this somehow, you know. I don't know if any of that made sense. Yeah, but these are just like, I think, very important conversations that need to be had year round, but especially, you know, right now, because it is Latinx Heritage Month, so.
And that's that episode. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you all. No, but you know what? Speaking on that, this last Sunday were the Emmys.
Shmemmies.
2 days ago, actually. I made it seem like it was a long time ago. And did you watch the Emmys?
I watched the Twitter commentary on the Emmys.
Yeah, me too. I feel like I didn't even know where to, I don't have a TV. I don't even know where to watch it. And I feel like you have to pay to, I don't know. But yeah, I just watched the commentary on my
Yeah, no,
phone.
I watched it because I have another podcast, a spoilers podcast, where we talk about media with my friend Steffo, and we were gonna do an Emmy coverage type of thing, but we didn't end up doing it. But we cover shows by people of color, and this year, like many other years, like only like four shows where people of color are like the primary audience and the primary characters and creators, like, were nominated. So there was like How to Get Away with Murder, Killing Eve, When They See Us. Oh, Pose, of course. But other than that, there was not many. So I was just like, I just showed up to root for them. Sandra Oh didn't win a fucking again. She's like, it's her ninth nomination. Ugh.
Ninth? Oh
Yeah.
my gosh.
Yeah, she's, oh, she.
Sandra Oh is amazing. She's so
Yes.
good. Like, come on. I
Yes.
just. But you know who did win? Billy Porter,
Oh,
of
I
course.
love him.
His speech, the James Baldwin quote,
Yeah.
everything. Loved it. But also, so shout out to Billy Porter. But also, Jerrell Jerome won. What was the category? I'm so bad.
Outstanding actor in a limited series.
Yeah, so Jerrell Jerome, who is Dominican, who is Black and Afro-Latino, he won. So for Outstanding Lead Actor in a Limited Series for When They See Us. And that was also a very historic moment. And it also ties into this conversation we're having, right? Because he's Black, of course. He's Dominican. He actually spoke Spanish a little bit during his speech, which I thought was amazing. And like being able to see that, but at the same time, like going on Twitter and then seeing it was like this weird, like a lot of Latinx media not covering it, and then also Latinx media covering it, and then having that question of, why are we only covering like Afro Latinx folks when they win something, right? Or when they achieve something, and then we're like, this is a win for all of us. But other than that, kind of like you don't exist, or we're not gonna uplift you at all, and we're not gonna invite you to these conversations. So that brought out a lot of those conversations as well. So it is like, yes, very, I think it is a very his, it, it's historic. It's a historic win. And because he is Latino, he's Dominican, like it, it, but it goes back to that, like, do I feel, I don't know, because I feel like I'm not trying to be like, this is for all Latinos, right? Like, even though you, I mean, you could say that, but it's more of like, definitely, like, let's not erase the fact that he is a Black Latino, right? And that that means something, especially to like, I saw so many Dominican folks, like, just like so happy. And then I saw like Latinx coverage where they would, like, for example, I saw Remezcla. There was like an inter like a after the award show where they get to ask him questions, and they had asked about being the first Afro Latino to win an Emmy.
I like the remezcla asked that question because I think it we were that remezcla was the only team that asked that was specific to his Afro-Dominican identity. So to me, it showed like the importance of having like a diverse press room.
It's funny that you mention that about the press room, because that reminds me of RuPaul and that question. So RuPaul also won for, was it
That's
Reality,
like,
I think, right? And then when RuPaul went up there to accept his award, all the writers on his show are just white, like white. There was not one single, like, even like light-skinned, like, person of color up there at all. So I mean, and I don't know what outlet asked him, and like, I think they just asked him straight out about like kind of like why, like where, like how he feels about diversity in like the writing room, talking about him though. Like, they directed it at him, at his writing room, and he couldn't really answer that. Or he said, actually, no, he said that there was a lot of diversity up there. And I don't know if he just meant like white men and white women, but yeah,
Well, I
yikes.
think that gays see themselves as
That
like
is true.
gays of color, like,
Oh my.
or some shit.
Yeah, they're like, my queerness, like it erases my whiteness.
Like, have you seen that video of that white guy telling that Asian girl
Oh, yes.
like you don't know what it's like to be discriminated against, but I do because I'm gay or something like that, and she's like, "What? I'm Asian."
Oh, white queers.
But yeah, no, that was disappointing. I mean, not disappointing. It was expected. I don't know. For me, like, okay. I guess I do mean disappointed because, listen, I'm 30. Like, when I was a little kid, I grew up listening to Supermodel on my Walkman. Like, I thought that RuPaul was everything and more as a kid. Like, I could not believe that this black drag queen was like making like this awesome music, and so I really celebrated him growing up. And so to see the kind of like mess or like regressive person that he's grown into, or maybe that he's always been, like, is really sad to me.
And RuPaul isn't the only one. Like, I think people were talking about John Oliver. I think John Oliver won some sort. Yeah, I think he won some sort of award. And he also had, I mean, John Oliver is white, of course, but given that he has a talk show on politics, right? there all his writing room was also white. And these are people that obviously say that they're for, people of color and anti-racist and all this bullshit. And it's like, and it reminds me of like nonprofits, like the same, like nonprofits that are like, oh, we're here for the people and we're here to help everyone, and then you work for them and it's just like fucking white people, like, what are you doing? We should just have a segment like where we just talk shit about like one white woman. You know, who else was being shitty the other day? Bette Midler.
She's always a
Always around
mess.
Halloween too. I'm like, dude, we're trying to watch Hocus Pocus and you always fucking ruin it. Like, what did she do last year?
She said the
She said the
N-word.
N-word in a tweet. I don't remember the context of it, but this
She was quoting Yoko Ono.
was it? Oh God. The
Who
white
again?
woman is the N-word, that awful, terrible
Of the world.
quote. I thought Rose McGowan, well, what's her name? Rose. I thought she had. I think they both probably. I think all white women have like said that quote at one point in their lives. But no, Bette Midler,
Yeah, even Bjork, like people always remind me that Bjork said.
Bjork.
They're like, every time I'm like, I love Bjork, they're like, she said the N-word. I'm like, fuck.
Oh God. No, so Bette Midler last week or a few days ago tweeted some bullshit, like, kind of like, oh, Beyonce has like, I don't know how many million followers on Twitter. Wouldn't it be amazing if she like told everyone to like vote or some shit like that? And it's like, yo, like she really thought probably that she was doing something, like that Beyonce was probably gonna like respond to her and be like, hey, thanks, Bette, for this reminder. You know, let me go do that. But it's like, why do you all always want Black women specifically to do work for you? Like, how are you gonna act? And this is the thing that's like so wild, where it's like Beyonce, a Black woman, right? When we look at who voted in the last election in very high numbers, Black women, and who voted for fucking Trump, white women. So why are we still putting this like responsibility on Black women? Like, why couldn't you tag Taylor Swift or Kim Kardashian? Like, actually, Taylor Swift and Miley Cyrus should be the ones riling that shit up and telling their fucking fans and everybody else not to vote for Trump. But
Every white woman that's appropriating
exactly.
culture, like, should be the ones being doing all this work and telling the 50+% of white women who voted for Trump across class lines, because it's not just poor whites that are voting for Trump, across class lines, like, to get their shit together. Because, like, if you want to keep it real, like, I don't know, like, Beyonce supported Hillary and she supported
Yeah.
Beto, and like
The
they both lost. So
yeah, exactly. And it's just, you know who else, let's see, what's her name? We've talked, one of our faves, Alyssa Milano. I always say her name like Miliano for some
yeah.
reason. She actually, I don't know if you saw a few weeks ago, she met with our educated Latino sister Ted Cruz to talk about guns. Did you see that?
Shut up. No, because I have her blocked.
yeah, so she, it was she, God, Alyssa, I don't understand, sweetie pie. Like, I don't know how many times this bitch has to get dragged like on Twitter, but anyway, she met with Ted Cruz. I didn't watch it. It was like live stream or some shit to talk about, to have a debate. No, she debated him about guns. And then I didn't watch it, of course, but afterwards
Oh
she
my
tweeted
God.
like that Ted Cruz was really respectful to her and that they had a good conversation. And I'm like, white women, you are useless. Even when you
So
think you're doing something,
useless.
like you think you're being an activist and you think you're like saving like women of color, like people of color, like you're not doing shit, like at all. Like, I'd rather you not
Yeah.
say anything, period.
I'm not gonna lie, like people like her and other celebrity activists are essentially why I stopped calling myself an activist. Like, because I'm like, that's not what an activist is, but it's what the mainstream public thinks it is. They think that just like, talking shit and like collecting shady fundraisers for people, right? Like, so a lot of these popular online quote unquote activists do. They think that's activism. And not organizing and not like actually doing tangible things. And like, yeah, like I think when I was doing like more consistent groundwork, that is a label that I was really attached to. But as I've, grown up and I've seen activism be like bastardized, I'm just like, this is not the wave. This is not what I want to be associated with. And so yeah, that's shitty.
You know, everyone thinks they're an activist just because they're like hashtag impeach Trump. Which, hey, it worked. It worked, you
Ugh.
keyboard justice warriors.
Oh my God. I'm just like, if this
Well,
motherfucker's
I
not
hope
gonna
he
get
doesn't
impeached,
because I
like,
want
are
him
you
to
kidding
win
me?
2020.
Like, oh my God, shut up. This
It's
was
sarcasm, and
sarcasm. Don't come killing
in case
us.
you missed it, everybody, in case you don't follow me, let me address that. So I was on Twitter. It was Saturday. I was enjoying my nice Saturday. It was kind of cloudy here, kind of rainy, which is cool in El Paso because we live in the desert. Anyway, I was having a good Saturday. I got my Wi-Fi put.
Okay, we
Yeah,
gotta set
I'm really
the
broke still, and they cut off my internet, and I
mood.
barely got it back, which is why we're recording. Anyway, so I was in a good mood, needless to say, and I came across somehow someone I don't know. I came across this terrible video on Twitter of this like white Latina in a fucking MAGA hat, like freestyling, quote unquote. Just. It was terrible. It was so bad, but also very hilarious to me because it was so bad. Like, she was literally just like, "Don't call me Mexican. Like, I love Law and Order." And just at the end, she was like, "Latina, Masfina." Anyway, it was a mess. Okay, terrible mess. And I thought it was so funny though. And so sometimes I'm like, I don't want to post about like these like very heavy posts that I usually do, right? Like sometimes I just want to post a fucking joke, like a meme or a video. So I was like, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna share this with everyone so they can laugh. And I did. And somehow it turned into a shit show where everybody started saying that it was me in the video, which is really offensive to me. it's really disrespectful, actually, because one, I don't look like this bitch. She looked like the color of her wall, which was white, beige. Like I feel like I'm light skinned. I don't think I'm that light. But on top of that, like even if I did look like her, like I'm just like, why do you all think I'm a Trump supporter out of nowhere? Like 1,000 and I don't know how many posts later, like I'm a Trump supporter? Like I don't understand why you would even think that. And if I was a Trump supporter, that I would be a tacky one, you know? I mean, well, they're all tacky, but like to upload this video of me freestyling on top of that, like the whole thing is just so rude and an attack on me. But at the first few comments, I ignored them because I thought like, okay, these people are like what? But then it was like 300 comments and then everyone was like unfollowing and like threatening me and just it was a fucking shit show. And so I recorded a live video addressing that that was not me. And then I was like, no one's gonna watch this, so I have to post a video of myself. And it was just really ridiculous, but I'm still laughing and cringing about how these motherfuckers thought it was me. Like 350 people unfollowed me. That's an estimate. But I'm just like really offended. But anyway.
We've talked about this before. You messaged me that day and were like, I can't believe people, blah, 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 lol. And I was like, I cannot believe you posted this video with that sarcastic
And it wasn't, and
tone, like,
it wasn't, the caption was
caption,
literally
like,
like, "Good morning, I got my internet back, so here's a nice video." That was literally the caption. Like, it wasn't even like anything, like.
we've talked about this. Latinxers do not
Yeah,
understand sarcasm. Like,
but I feel like it wasn't even like, that's what I mean. Like, I feel like I didn't even, all I said was like, "Good morning, I got my internet back, here's a nice video." I guess that's sarcastic. I don't know. But, like, yeah, okay.
yeah, stupid.
I was just the whole thing was like a hot mess. So now I'm just like if I, you know, I'm like a MAGA supporter. So but this is just like when people thought I was gonna vote for Ted Cruz. Yeah, I should just stop joking about these
Oh my
things
God.
because
Again, it's
they
because people don't understand
don't
sarcasm.
understand. But anyway, it's just really funny. Like it just, and then people thought I got hacked. Which I guess it's a little better than like they knew it wasn't me, but they just assumed that this girl like hacked my shit and posted a video of herself, which I think is really funny. Which I think is really funny also.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was just.
Like, remember, oh God, remember when Latina Rebels got hacked and then it was just like a
Oh
bunch of Chola
my
memes that they
God.
posted for like a
Oh my
month?
God. And it's so funny because so Latina Rebels, I remember, yeah, they got hacked on Facebook, and I don't know if you've seen when other pages get hacked, but it's just like, like those links that's like, you will not believe this woman with 11th toe, and it's like so ridiculous that it's spam, But like their followers did not know that it was spam. Like they literally thought Latina Rebels was like posting these awful these awful articles, and people in the comment sections, like I remember reading them, and they were just like, oh, like some people liked some, I don't know, people are so wild, like I'm, and it sucks because like they obviously couldn't go on their Facebook and be like, hey, this isn't us, like we got hacked, right? And like I think that's like a scary thing for me, like if I ever get hacked, like my followers won't even know, like they'll just attack me and they'll think that that's like really me. So I don't know, my followers,
I know.
I don't know what to do with you all.
I like have like night terrors that I like get hacked and that like people do something problematic with
I
my
know.
page.
And then people will
Like,
like hold it against you forever, even though it's not you. Like, oh my God,
yeah. Straight up.
it's the worst. The worst.
I live in constant fear.
And like, I actually feel like the people that listen to our podcast like understand our humor. And obviously, like my, if you don't listen to this podcast, I think like for example, like on Chicanismo, I'll post something and it's like a serious thing. So you're just like, oh, this person's serious. They're posting like serious captions. And so you might not, you might not necessarily understand my humor unless you probably listen to this podcast or like you know me in real life, right? Because a lot of my friends also, like my one of my best friends, she's like, Alexandria, she's like, yeah, listen to your podcast and like or like I sometimes see what you say online and I laugh because I know the tone that you said it in or you said it sarcastically, but I don't think anyone else understands that. And they think like you're serious, And I'm like, yeah, it sucks, dude. So anyway, so if you, because a lot of people that defend me are usually always Bitter Brown Femmes fans. So I love you all. Yeah. Because
Oh.
one of the things that came up that I know me and Ruben talk a lot is like, and I mention this all the time, like we have like stuff outside of Bitter Brown Femmes, right? And so even if that's just like tweeting on fucking Twitter, even that like extensively on like this particular topic, Ruben has like videos on like a YouTube channel, has another podcast, like I'm always on Chicanismo, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like you follow us and you say that you love our work, and then you're like, wait, I didn't know you had another podcast. Wait, what is Bitter Brown Femmes? Like, and it's, and like, I don't want to be like, oh, you have to follow every single thing that we do, right? Like, no, like, that's not it. But I do feel like sometimes people just don't give a shit about what you're saying. They're just like waiting for a chance to like talk shit to you and to cancel you. Or like they only post on like one particular issue and like disregard everything else you say. And that's really frustrating to me because especially on Chicanisma, like I don't know how many people are always like, oh, I didn't know you had a podcast. And like, okay, maybe if you're a new follower, But it's some like it's something that I talk about and that I post, And then I don't like to post my face all the time, but I feel like I have to for these reasons. And even when I do, people are like saying I'm like some white fucking girl in a MAGA hat. Like, so that's like really upsetting to me. And so a lot of the people that I know really fuck with me listen, follow me on Chicanismo, and also like listen to Bitter Brown Femmes because like they're always in the comments and they're always like, they were the people in the comments that were like, yo, like this isn't her. Like she's like, what the fuck are you talking about? So like I appreciate all of you a lot that if you like support us and like actually listen to like what we have to say, And that doesn't mean obviously that you have to agree with everything that we say or like you we're forcing you to be a Patreon or like any of that, but just genuinely like appreciate us and support us and yeah, and then on that note, I also wanted to bring something else up, a comment that somebody made. And I'm trying to find it because I took a picture of it. But why are you laughing?
Because there's just a
I know,
lot
I
of
like
things
went off on like so
happening
many, I'm
right
like talking shit
now.
about white women and then I went off on this whole thing. But yeah, okay, so like someone had said, and I'm not gonna put their name out there. And but they were pretty much saying that they tried to listen to our last episode about the Rosalía shit, and they said, and I quote, "I and I'm pretty sure obviously she's not listening to this. I listened to 10 minutes of babble and countless Valley Girl sounding alikes, and still hadn't hear anything on topic so I turned it off. Disappointed. I highly enjoy this Instagram account, but the podcast was disappointing. So this person left this comment on Shiganizma when I told people, you know, to go check out our last episode. And I'm not even trying to drag this person. Like, I'm not trying to, like, again, we're not like, you have to love our podcast. Like, if you don't like it, you're a piece of shit. Like, this podcast isn't for everybody, right? Like, I'm not for everybody. Ruben is not for everybody, right? Some people fuck with Ruben, some people don't fuck with me, vice versa, whatever. Like, you don't have to, like our shit. But I feel like I get this comment a lot, so I wanted to address it. And also, when I listen to our episodes, I know that we say like a lot. I know that I say like a lot. Like, every other word I say is like. And I guess it's just, like, that's just how I talk. And it's just, like, a normal thing. And I try, when I'm trying to be conscious about it, like, don't say that. Don't say like. Don't say like. But I do it, okay? I'm a Valley girl. Even though I'm from fucking, like, the border and I'm from El Paso and whatever, I am a fucking Valley girl. And saying like, as much as, like, it kind of annoys me sometimes, too, when I think about it. And I'm sure it annoys other people. It doesn't make me, or anyone who uses that word, like, any less intelligent. Or that because we say like all the time, because this isn't the first person that has said this, especially about this podcast, like, that because we say like, or because we talk in this very feminine voice, or because I sometimes, I feel like I do have that Valley girl accent, aside from, like, the like, the like shit, like, it doesn't mean that, like, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. And it doesn't mean I won't fuck your shit up, bitch. Just kidding. I'm not threatening that person. but no, like, but I get all the time, like, my friend actually used to say that I am the lumpy space princess from Adventure Time, because I talk like that. And yeah, like, sometimes it does bother me. And, like, I know, Ruben, you were telling me you feel sometimes like people don't take you seriously. And so, like, yeah, see, there I go again. Saying like, but at the same time, everything that we're saying is still, like, valid. And and it's actually, like, one of our followers had replied to that person, and they were like, this is femphobic. And I'm glad, like, they said it, because, like, I didn't even reply to that person. But yeah.
Oh, I replied to that person.
Yeah, you did.
I was, when they said, like, oh, 10 minutes in, and there was no talk of Rosalia, and I'm like, you were going to be even more disappointed because we don't even get to it until the hour mark. So, joke's on you.
yeah, and that thing kind of upset me too. Well, not really. Like, I just feel like this podcast, just like our page, isn't just like us in general. Like, we're not constantly, like, talking about racism and talking about, you know, Latinidad and talking about cultural appropriation or whatever, right? Like, sometimes we just want to fucking talk about astrology, or we want to fucking talk about how we're broke and and, like, awful dates that we've been on, and just, like, have fun with it, you know what I mean? So it's like, at the beginning of our episodes, like, we always check in with each other, and it's before we get into sometimes these very heavy conversations, because why would we want to have a podcast where we're just like, okay, ready, let's talk about racism, okay, everybody, yeah, thanks, bye, you know? So yeah, like, you don't have to fuck with us, but I'm also like, fuck out of here, like, that fucking comment, like, I'm sorry, but fuck out of here, especially on a podcast literally called Bitter Brown Femmes, like, what the fuck did you, what were you expecting? Like, if I listened to a podcast called, yeah, Bitter Brown Femmes, like, I wouldn't be like, wow, these bitches are really feminine and they say like a lot. And they're mad. I don't understand why they're mad and feminine. It's weird.
Yeah. I was, like, it's funny. Well, it's not funny. It's, like, upsetting to me. It's upsetting me and my homegirl, as the tweet goes, as the meme goes. But,
because if we can't record on this podcast, where else can we? If we can't talk shit on this podcast, where else can we talk shit?
With that continuing the meme?
Sorry, I love that meme. It's, like, the best.
Me too.
Okay, that's a new meme for everybody.
Okay, no, but
okay.
They're like, what are these bitches talking about? They're like, Unsubscribe. This is why I don't. This is why we don't listen to y'all. Y'all laugh at your own intern, your own inside jokes.
Oh my god. Okay. It's really upsetting.
Well, I was telling my friend like how sometimes I feel like people don't take me seriously because of my voice, right? Like how I talk or whatever. And this is a friend that like really respects me. So, you know, my friend really respects me. And so they were like, I see it, but I also don't see it. And I'm like, yeah, like people, and sometimes I've used it to my advantage. Like, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I've played the bimbo to like my
get free food
benefit sometimes, right? Yeah. Or like whatever, attention or comedic effect, right? But it's like, it's something that I grew up kind of understanding that of how people saw me, right? And it was like, oh, you know, this queer talks like, you know, they sound like a gay, right? Like, I remember when I used to be a community educator, and sometimes I would be made to go educate like families and like kids on like LGBT issues. And I remember one thing that like kids and like adults would ask is like, why do you sound like that? And I'm like, and it took me a while. Like at the beginning, that question would like catch me by surprise, but it ended up being something that I got so often that I just like developed an answer. And I was like, how do I sound? What do you mean? How do I sound? Like, I sound fabulous. Like, I love the way I sound. I was like, this is the way my natural voice probably is. And that's the way a lot of our natural voices probably are. But because a lot of men are conditioned to, like, be macho or whatever, they, like, deepen their voice, like, unnaturally. And so I was like, so this is just the way that I was meant to sound. And it took me a long time to appreciate my voice. But now that I am an adult, like, I very much love my voice. So you can fucking deal with it. But I do know the way it's seen. And that's why I'm very thankful for, like, femme goddesses, like, Elle Woods, who taught us that you can be femme and strong and still
and still so, fucking get into Harvard, bitch. So,
TBH,
what, like it's hard.
TBH. Like I was telling my friend, I'm like, I should go to Harvard just so that I can say that. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. So anyway.
Yeah. So anyway, like that's just the way we sound.
Yeah.
Where we are. Some Chicana Valley girls.
Yes. Love it. Loves it. Mm. Paris Hilton voice. Loves it. Mm. You know Paris Hilton does that.
Mm.
You know, on purpose.
Yeah, okay.
Tell him.
Yeah. I remember as a kid, I think I internalized that a little bit. And I was like, okay, if people think I am... if people have these preconceived notions of my intelligence because of how I sound, then how do I use that to my own advantage? So yeah, that's just something that a lot of us have to navigate. I'm not going to say how I navigated it sometimes, because sometimes it wasn't the best advice. but yeah, so that's the way my voice sounds. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Yes. What else? Hmm. Okay, so what else are we going to talk about?
Is that all we wrote down? I feel like the last half hour of this podcast have just been us going off the rails.
One thing we did want, we said we were going to talk about was, what's that liberal guy saying everybody likes from Canada?
Justin Trudeau.
So he's like the, what do they call it? Canada? He's not the president. Is it prime minister? We were like, we are smart and intelligent. Country. And then right now I'm like, who is he? Is he the
prime minister.
You don't know what we're talking about, okay?
Goes on rant how we're so brilliant. And now
we're like, who? What's his title? That guy. You guys don't know what guy we're talking about. Yeah. Brown face. Yeah. Black face. All the faces he did. Research.
All the faces.
And this was a big thing because if you're not, I'm sure you've all seen this guy who a lot of like white feminists in particular are like, he's so hot and he's like this equal rights king. And he, you know, everyone also likes, it's funny because a couple of days before that was leaked, people on Twitter from Canada were going on thread rants about how Canada's so fucking great in comparison to the United States, which they always fucking do, right? Like, it's like this utopia of like liberalness and like racism doesn't exist in fucking Canada because they have fucking healthcare. And then like 2 days later, like these pictures surfaced. So it's like perfect timing. But also when people say that, and particularly Canada, I'm like, do you not care about Indigenous people? Because like not just Indigenous people, but I feel like there's just the way that they treat Indigenous people in Canada. I mean, everywhere, but in Can like just fuck out of here, Canadians, okay? Except for Tegan and Sarah. Except for Tegan and Sarah, okay? And
And Celine
and
Dion,
Celine
even
Dion.
though,
No, there
you
are good
know,
Canadians, but everyone else can fuck off. And
Shania
yes, even Shania
Twain.
Twain. No, okay. Yes,
I'm here. I'm here for
Shania, who
Shania Twain.
else?
Avril Lavigne and Rotten
Oh, I
Disease.
forgot Avril's Canadian. Huh. Yeah, I guess that's it. There's like no good men there.
Yeah, no, Canada has like quality, like Canadian white women. Like.
The ones we wish we had here. But
Yeah.
anyway, back to Justin. And that, I think we just wanted to bring that up because we love giving y'all examples of like fuck this white liberalism bullshit, and he's like also a perfect example. It's not the first time he does anything wrong, obviously, but I think on a large scale like that, like I don't understand. Like
Yeah.
I don't understand this. Like
'Cause it wasn't
it
once
wasn't,
and it wasn't
yeah.
twice. It was like at least three times. And then when they asked him, like, it was like when they asked him, like, are these the only times you've done this? He was like, I am not sure. And
Oh.
I was like, so you were like a black face, brown face, like enthusiast. Like,
He said that?
fuck. He was 30 at this time. He wasn't even a child.
It's just.
He was fucking 30. Like, I'm not gonna say that I wasn't problematic in my youth, in my earlier youth, because I was, like a lot of us were, but fuck, I never went that far. Shit. And I think as soon as I like learned that I was doing something bad, I was okay, let me fix this. Like, it's just funny to me, like how far we extend like innocence to white people, but in particularly white men. And so that'll never not be like fucking surprising to me.
This just came into my head.
Oh.
Sorry, it's because it kind of relates to this. There was like some white comedian that they had announced like the new cast members of Saturday Night Live. It was one of those people was this white guy,
It's like
Shane, whatever.
McGillis. It's like one of
Yeah,
those
and then
weird
after
white
they
people
announced
names.
it, they had like videos started surfacing, and these are not like old videos. These were like a few months ago of him saying fucking racist shit, particularly against East Asian Americans, right? Like it's just like why? Like we're it's 2019. Like it's never okay, but I feel like again this was like months ago, and this wasn't because people were trying to say he did. It was like on a podcast he was doing like with one of his friends, like having a conversation with his friend. So it wasn't even like on stage. This was just like a normal conversation for him and these other white men to have. And so, needless to say, there was a lot of backlash. And it's fucked up because, so there was three people that were added. It was this fucking racist guy that I'm talking about, Shane, whatever, and this white woman because, you know, how, like, apparently Saturday Night Live only hired, like, they're only white women exist to them because there's only always, like, white women. They're, like, I very rarely see them add, like, black women or, like, Asian women, women of color, whatever. And then the third person was his name is Bowen Y Yang, Bowen Yang, and he's Asian, he's queer, and so it's like he's like the first, right? So it's like a very big thing. And so how are you gonna add him, and then also add this fucking piece of shit white guy who literally talks shit about Asian people, right? So there was like a lot of backlash that he got, and I think like 2 days later they announced that. You know, they fired him technically, or I don't know if they fired's the word since he didn't technically start. What is it called when they, you know, they just took it back. They're like, give us that, you know, you're off. and so people, you know, like all the comedians in the world, especially white comedians, came out on Twitter and were like talking about quote unquote cancel culture and about how. comedians can't be funny anymore, and it's just, especially, I think especially with comedians, like I know last month Dave Chappelle, came out with his new stand-up that's always very like queer phobic, it's always like trans antagonistic, like misogynist, whatever. And so fucking Sarah Silverman was one of these people that came out and was literally talking about cancel culture and how she's scared to, like, I don't know, be funny or whatever the fuck. And it's like, bitch, you did blackface like a few years ago and nothing happened to you. Dave Chappelle, this isn't the first time. I think his last stand-up was also very like anti-trans. And what happened? Nothing. He still got another Netflix special. Like, saying, and this is the thing about cancel culture, right? Like, I don't think you can cancel technically the Prime Minister of Canada, but it's like cancel culture doesn't exist. And like, why are you laughing? Cancel culture does
Because I'm remembering this joke where somebody was like talking about the situation. They were like,
Oh my
Jesus
God.
doesn't cancel people. And somebody was like, what about Satan?
It's, oh my God. I saw that
That's
tweet
like
and I
the
saw so
ultimate
many
cancel
people were
culture.
like, yeah, they're like, yo, God cancels his own son. Like, anyway, yeah. And I know that person that tweeted that. I met him at the airport. Anyway, it's irrelevant. Irrelevant. Back to what I was saying. Yeah, the cancel culture doesn't exist. People, especially celebrities, like they love to say that. They're like, I'm so shook. I can't like breathe anymore. I can't like say anything because then people cancel me. It's like, name one person who was quote unquote canceled that actually got canceled. That wasn't like a black woman. That wasn't like a marginalized person, because those are the people, if we're being real, like that have gotten closest to being canceled. Because white people, cis people, you all love them bitches. And like none of these bitches abusers, you love them too. Like they're Woody Allen's still out here making movies. So please tell me like how cancel culture is like real. I think on an individual levels, like you can say, I'm canceling this person or I'm not gonna support this person. And I think, like that's a thing, obviously, but collectively, like no, not a thing. People forgive and forget. But one of the things that one of the tweets I saw in defense of Justin Trudeau, whatever his last name is, Justin Prime Minister, was
Trudeau.
this a white woman, because someone was
Trudeau.
like, weren't Canadians just like talking about how great Canada is? And then this white woman replied and she was like, in Canada we forgive. And I'm like, oh my God, girl. Like, but she went on like a whole thing about how like in Canada we give people allow people to make mistakes and all this bullshit. And I'm like, girl, oh my God, this is the Canada you all love? Yeah, okay, sounds like the US to me. With free health care and Tegan and Sarah.
You know what? But even Celine Dion left there, and she had her residency in Vegas. Not Montreal, not no
Yes.
Quebec. She had it in Vegas. In the
Shut
good
up.
old US of A.
That's funny. That's all to say. All to
I
say
sound too Tejana for you.
that, I think we started this whole rant off with impeachment of Trump. We didn't even talk about that.
Girl, we dropped that because it ain't happening. These fucking liberals,
Oh
it took him
my
how long to
God.
get here? How long did it fucking it, 3 years. He's about to finish his fucking presidency and go to fucking IHOP after hours. Like, these motherfuckers have been
Know, like
done.
we're supposed to be
Like,
praising Nancy Pelosi's
what?
bitch ass, like that
Like,
doesn't have a
what?
fucking
So they're not
spine. God, I hate her so much.
Nancy
Did you just call her
Pelosi, like,
Peluda?
get out of here. Like, even if he does get impeached, like, so then what? We get Mike Pence for a year or worse? They find some, like, loophole in the Constitution or some bullshit where it's like, if one motherfucker gets impeached, the other motherfucker can run for 4 years. Like, so I'm just like, this bitch should have gotten impeached ages ago. And, like, now that we're in the home stretch, that he already did all this wrong, like, now they want to get brave? Like, what? Like, did she listen to
It's
Katy
so,
Perry's
yeah, when you think
"Roar,"
about it,
or
it's
like,
so like,
what? How do we
how
get here?
fucking
Like,
convenient.
I'm so.
How fucking convenient that you're doing this, like, at the end of 2019. Because people were acting like this shit is going to be like done in like a month. No, this shit
Yeah,
takes like months, if not years. So what is the point? What is the point? You might as well have not done shit.
Yep. To me, it feels very, it feels like this is setting up Mike Pence for success. Like it's set, like, so that way he can just run for re-election, and since he's a more eloquent Donald Trump, and a more sinister Donald Trump, he's going to be able to win. So I am actually scared of this. Because I don't trust none of these bitches. Like, I don't trust that they're doing this in my best interest. Like, and at the end of the day, like, even if this motherfucker gets impeached, like, the people, the America that voted for him is still going to exist. Like, that is still untouched. So,
you know how hard they go for him. You know what I mean? So could you imagine him actually being impeached and what that, how they would retaliate, how they would, they're already violent and he's the fucking president. So that it's like back to this conversation of it's not Trump. Trump is not, he's not like the only, like once he's gone, everything's fine. No, we're still going to have to deal with everything that he left behind, with everything that has always existed and will continue to exist after him. You know, and like, it's also scary. That's another thing about the impeachment, that liberals, I feel like once he's impeached, like they're going to be like, that's it. Just like if during the election, like their goal was, let's put Hillary in the White House. And if she was in the White House, they would all just be a fucking brunch, right? And that's the same thing with like Trump being impeached. That's going to be their end goal. And if they do reach that, which I highly fucking doubt it, if that were to happen, then they would be like, okay, my work here is done. Bye. You know? And like leave us. Yeah. And I'm going to tell my grandkids about this. But they would leave marginalized folks to fend for themselves. Like they've always fucking left us and continue to do so. You know? So yeah. So this whole impeachment thing, I'm just like, anyway, I don't even give a shit about it. Like, not real.
Impeach America.
I don't know how to say impeach my bush. Isn't that a Peaches album? That is, right? Yeah, I know.
Peaches is so ahead of her time. Fuck it, let's play her again.
Love Peaches. Anyway, before we go, though, I would just like to give another special shout out to my bi folks out there, because we, you know, bi bitches time. And I was actually last year for, we did, it's one of my favorite episodes that we did. It's called Monetize My Love. If you go and look for it, it's one of my favorite episodes. We talk about emotional labor. We talk about being bi and biphobia and bi visibility. So I know, obviously, we didn't talk about it this right now, you know, this year. But I have talked about it, and it's such a good episode. So if you want to talk, you know, if you want to listen to us talk about bisexuality, you can go and look for that episode. But yeah, but I just wanted to say shout out to all the bi folks out there. Don't let these bitches tell you that you're not bi, because I see that shit on Twitter all the time. That fucking rhymed. All right, I was on a roll there. See, I do freestyle. Oh my god, I am that MAGA girl. Okay, anyway.
Yeah, no, I think that for Bi Visibility Month, I just want to tell bisexuals that I see you.
Thank you. It means a lot. It means a lot.
You're very visible to me. You're not invisible. So you better watch your shit.
That's a true ally right there. Okay.
But yeah, that's a threat too.
All right, stop it. Ow, okay. So me and Ruben, we're trying to think of what artist do we want to play today, right? Because as we mentioned in other episodes, that's always early. We know what we're going to talk about. Sometimes we don't. We just go with the flow like we did today. But when it comes to like what song are we going to end, or which artist we're going to highlight, you know, sometimes it takes us a while to figure it out. But because it is Latinx Heritage Month, we wanted to play a Latinx artist, of course, but one of our favorite, I think, artist bands is Café Tacuba. For me personally, for Ruben just saw them recently.
Yeah, no, I love Café Tacuba. I, you know, originally had my long hair because of Ruben, the lead singer. I thought he looked amazing. They also like identified as genderqueer, like in the 90s. Like, I don't know how they identify now, but like that was really dope to me as a kid, and they were like right up my alley, like alternative rock that's like a male voice that's like whiny, because I hate men singing usually, like I only listen to women sing usually, but like his voice was nice. And so yeah, I've seen Café Tacuba now 4 times. They're one of the bands that I've seen the most in my life, and they never get boring.
I've only seen them once. They had done a show here, and I found out the date of, so it was just like one of those concerts that was really exciting because they played like a free show here, and it was on Cinco de Mayo, so it was like everyone was getting drunk, and anyway, it was really fun. They're so good live, and yeah. So anyway, so we were trying. So then we were like, okay, we're gonna play Café Tacuba because you know who doesn't love Café Tacuba. But then we were like, what song are we gonna play? Because they have like so many songs and like so many great songs. And so then we narrowed it down to 2, and then we were like, well, let's just make a Twitter poll right now at 12 midnight, 1 whatever, and ask whoever is up to decide. So Ruben, can you tell us those results, please?
Yeah, so we got 88 votes in the 1 hour that we had their poll up on Bitter Brown Femmes on Twitter, which you should follow us at BitterBFemmes. And we got 88 votes, and 35% of those were for El Baile al Salón, which is my favorite song from Café Tacuba. And La Chica Banda got only 33% of the votes. And 32 of you bitches voted for I'm Nosy, which is no song selection. Y'all just wanted to know the results. So, El Baile al Salón, which is the gay anthem.
These results are by fucking phobic.
Just kidding. Well, how? El Baile al Salón is about this dude into this other dude who wants to learn how to get down and busy
I'm with him. I'm just kidding. They're just by phobic because I wanted...
I feel like it's by erasure. It's just by erasure.
No, I love La Chica Banda. Is one of my, like, I love that song. I adore it. I love it. But, I like it. Either or, I'm good. So, that was sarcasm, by the way, for those that are like, wow, she said that shit was biphobic. but anyway, yes, El Baile y El Salón. So that's what we're going to play and what we're going to end on. And yeah, thank you so much for, if you stuck around this long through all our likes and all our bullshit. Any parting words?
Oh yeah, before we say goodbye, I do want to say thank you to Dr. Jorge Leal, also known as Rock Archivo LA, for hooking me up with the tickets to see Café Tacuba. Like, they really came through. Like, I would not be able to have seen them without his help, because I'm a broke bitch. And if you don't follow Rock Archivo LA's work, you should. He's documenting a lot of, like, Los Angeles, like, Chicanx and Latinx punk history, which is very, like, crucial to my growing up. And yeah, other than that, hope you have a fantastic Latinx Heritage Month. I hope you, you know, are his peace and not his panic. And that, you know, you live long and prosper or whatever. I don't know what else to add. I think that's it. Oh, yeah, follow us everywhere. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Don't follow us home, as I always say. It's important. And yeah, again, you can leave us a review over on iTunes, 5-star, of course. And then you can share this episode out of the goodness of your heart, because we can use the listenership so we can break the top 1,000 of the iTunes chart of society and culture. And so we can end up on another list, because that's maybe not Latinx based, because that's all we ever get mentioned in. And yeah, other than that, I am ready to go.
I know. Thank you, bitches. See you next time.
All right. Take care, y'all.
Bye.
Bye.